This is Speaking Out.
That's the key to it all, keeping connected to country.
On ABC Local Radio.
Gender identity is an issue that can divide families and communities, and many young people who struggle with it do so in silence. But Taz Clay is one young person speaking out on the issue. He's an 18-year-old brother boy from Toowoomba in Queensland, and in April he won a national film competition as part of National Youth Week for telling his story. Taz, when did you first realise that you had an issue with your gender identity?
When I was in about grade 2, grade 3, I think it was, I used to think that I was a guy and like I used to hang out with him. You know, I didn't really understand the full idea of being trans. I was just hanging out with all the guys because that's what I wanted to do. But it wasn't until I was about 16 or 17 that, you know, after living a couple, about 4 years as a same-sex attracted person, that I realised that, you know, I still like girls, but I don't feel that I like being a girl anymore. Like, I wasn't happy with how I looked, and I was just constantly angry with the fact that I wasn't like all the other guys.
And what was it like for you growing up in a regional town and dealing with these issues?
Yeah, so I actually spent my time, like, when I started my transition, I was living in Townsville. So it was hard, but I had, like, immense support from Headspace Townsville's Rainbow Group that they run. And I can probably say without that, I wouldn't have been able to find the confidence and find other people that identified the same way as me to be able to build my confidence and be happy with who I was.
Obviously, Headspace then provided support that you really needed. Can you just describe for people what kind of an impact having to kind of face these gender identity issues had on your mental health?
Well, for starters, like I was already dealing with the loss of my mum about a year beforehand, and so I'd sort of just started recovering from, you know, a really bad depression episode that I had, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I can do this. And then I just started feeling depressed again, and, you know, I was turning to self-harm to try and sort of ward off these feelings, even though I was seeing a counsellor. It was still really hard because it was all internalised. Yeah, it just wasn't healthy for me. And then when I re-engaged with the Headspace Townsville LGBTI group, you know, I met other trans guys and I found resources. And the coordinator for the LGBTI group, she actually got me in touch with another brother boy who I still continue to talk to today, who I also see as a mentor, and he's helped me considerably. And I guess without that initiative from Headspace Townsville, with that, I don't think it would have ended up too well.
You use the term brother boy. For people who haven't heard that term before, what does it mean to you?
It's an Indigenous female-to-male trans person. So, yeah, it's like two spirits that the Native Americans use. It's like that kind of language.
You talked also too, obviously, about going through all of this and losing your mum, having a really unstable home life. How much did your gender identity and the process you were going through affect your ability to secure a safe roof over your head?
It was actually easier than most with my gender identity story. I was able to transition in a really caring and loving home, which I still continue to live with today. They kind of just said, this is totally fine, like, we're going to support you because you have to be happy. Well, I guess I can talk about this now, but I was in child safety after my mum passed because I was living in a youth shelter, and I had left another house that I'd been living with, which was my friend's mum, for some reason. It got a bit too heated living there, so I was decided to pull the plug because it wasn't safe for me anymore. And then, yeah, child safety kind of just rocked up and was like, hey, we're going to be your guardians. So I actually ended up with the family that I'm with now because I was talking to them before I got into child safety through friends of a friend's thing. And then, yeah, I just started hanging out with them heaps, and they supported me, yeah, in my darkest days, and I definitely wouldn't have made it without their support as well.
You talk about Headspace. One of the things that it really did for you was connect you in with a whole community. Tell us a little bit about what it felt like having, I guess, been on your own a little bit, facing these issues, and then finding other people who'd been through the same thing?
Yeah, so I can definitely say, like, having to live in a youth shelter and have to look after myself, it was just me, and I was accountable to myself and responsible for myself. It definitely made me grow up pretty fast, which is something that I struggled with when I went back to living with a family, because I was so independent and so reliable on myself that I felt that anyone else that was in my life would let me down, because it had happened before. But I guess it took a long time to be able to sort of let go of, I guess, the railing that I held around myself and sort of let the other people care for me. It definitely took a long time. Like, I still have trust issues to this day, but...
You talk a lot about how important Headspace was for you as an organisation and a network. It's recently been defunded. What were your views about that?
Yeah, so I actually work on the Headspace Youth National Reference Group in Melbourne. So I was at the conference where Federal Minister Susan Ley talked and said that this was going to happen, like the funding was going to sort of be diminished over a two-year period. It didn't really hit me till probably about 3 weeks later after my last trip to Melbourne, and I was on the bus heading back, and I was just like, no, like, the funding's actually going, like, this is going to affect the National Office, which has employed so many awesome people that are so passionate about mental health, like youth mental health, down to the centres, which are working really well, I guess, trying to conjoin with what's going to happen over the next 2 years. So it was really devastating to hear, but I think there's also ways that we can sort of try and make some progress with this change. It's not that all Headspaces are going to sort of be taken off, it's just that the National Office has lost a fair bit of funding and we'll have to do tenders along with the centres as well on the local level. We'll have to tender and try and get the PHNs on board to support that centre and keep it there.
Now, you've since become a mentor and an educator yourself. What message would you like to send anyone else out there who's struggling with their gender identity?
Okay, it's a definitely long journey, so don't think you're sort of just going to wake up one day and it's going to be all over. It spans for ages, but it can also be a really beautiful journey, one that I'm finding out myself at the moment as well. Yeah, and it's not easy either on your mental health. You're definitely going to have your dark days where you're just going to feel isolated because of how people are going to make you feel if they don't understand you, and that's normal, but it can also become too much. So you do need to be able to find a place or someone that you can confide in and talk to about these issues, because, you know, we do want you around, we do want to hear your story, we do want to see you develop into someone that you're happy with being and that, you know, your friends and family are going to support and are going to be happy to see you the way that you want to be.
It's a very brave story that you're telling. It takes a lot of courage to stand up and tell anyone's personal story, and you're doing that and doing that with impact. What has been the reaction to the film that won the competition?
It was overwhelming. It was really good. I mean, it was, because it's such a short film, it was very powerful, because there wasn't a lot of words, but what I said was, you know, my life summed up in about 50 seconds. So I remember...
Keep we're it actually, short and powerful.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wrote it up and I was like, oh, this just sounds stupid. And then I remember we were filming one scene and they wanted me to speak loudly, like talk up, because they were over the other side of the road. And they're just like, yeah, speak a bit louder. And there was this coffee shop across the road. I'm like, I really do not feel comfortable kind of like yelling this my story across the street. But I guess to have it out there, you know, it's obviously never going to go away. It was definitely sort of a hard on your sleeve moment. I was really anxious about how it was going to be portrayed and how it would look, but it turned out really well, and it's a really cool resource, I reckon, for people that are interested in finding out about Brother Boys, or even myself, because it is a personal narrative. It's a powerful little piece. Quite proud of it.
Well, it's been wonderful to have you here this evening to talk about your work and your amazing journey.
Thank you.
Taz Clay, a remarkable brother boy speaking out on gender identity. And if any of this has raised issues for you, you can call Lifeline on 13 1114, Beyond Blue on 13 00 224636, or if you're Indigenous, you can contact Black Rainbow on their Facebook page.